get into a lot of different issues today. First of all, I want to welcome back Shaul, right? And Bizkus Shaul, we're doing a tshuva from Rav Moshe Sternbach today, who was a Rav in South Africa for a number of years. I didn't realize that that's why we're doing the tshuva today. The Torah records 42 masos in Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. And all the Mefarshim ask, why does the Torah go to such lengths to record all the different masos, 42 different masos, during the 40 years in the Midbar? And Rashi says, La'odia chasodov shel mokom, to teach us the chasdei Hashem, that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Gozer Golus on Klal Yisrael, that they should travel in the Midbar, you shouldn't say, they only had 42 masos during the 40 years in the Midbar. So in some of the places they stayed for a very, very long time, right? 19 years in one place, and other places were a very short time. The Rechaim points out that the purpose of these masos in the Midbar was in order to levare nitzaitse ha-kedusha, the nitzaitses of kedusha that were imprisoned in the Midbar. Just like in Mitzrayim, there were nitzaitses of kedusha imprisoned in the tomb of Mitzrayim, and Klal Yisrael released, freed those nitzaitses of kedusha. So too in the Midbar. Midbar is a makom shmama, it's a makom churbin, it's a makom where the Azazel, where the Satan, the Sitra Achra has Shlita, so he has, there are certain Nitzayis of Kedusha that are imprisoned there. And that was the Halicha of Yisrael during the 40 years in the Midbar, was to release those sparks of Kedusha, and they were, and Klal Yisrael absorbed them, they became part of Klal Yisrael. That's our Chaim, and in many places he talks about that. But the Rashi says the basic purpose of the Masos was in order to show Chasdei Hashem during the 40 years in the Midbar, even though it was the Gzeira of Golus. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Chesed within the Gzeiris, within the Gzeiris against Klal Yisrael, the punishment of Klal Yisrael. There's still Rachamim, there's still Chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I thought that possibly this would explain. We have a Nigin for the Masos. It always bothered me. Why is there a Nigin for the Masos? Right? Is it because it's so tedious? That's why it's the Chazal and Mesakin, the Nigin, so that it makes it easier to hear, easier to listen? Or no, I thought possibly the Nigin for the Masos is a din of Shira. There's a Shira, because whenever we express Chasdei Hashem, right? So there's an element of Shira there. So we're singing Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with these masos, because we're demonstrating the Chasdei Hashem even within the tzoris, within the goals, within the gzeris of HaKadosh Baruch Hu against Klal Yisrael. There's still chesed, there's rachamim, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu guarantees the nitzchius, the eternity of Klal Yisrael, right? Now it's during the time we're reaching Rosh Chodesh Av is tomorrow. And Rosh Chodesh Av, in this week's parsha, Rosh Chodesh Av is mentioned. Anybody know where? Where is Rosh Chodesh Av mentioned?
Mises Aaron.
Well, Mises Aaron was on Rosh Chodesh Av, the fifth month, the first day of the fifth month. It's the only place in the whole Torah where the Torah gives the yurt site, right? The day, the Yom Petira, the date, right? Not by Moshe Rabbeinu, not by Miriam, not by the Ovis, right? Only by Mises Aaron. And the Kli Yoker, the Netziv, point out that this is a remnant. This is a remnant that Aaron represents our Beis HaMikdash, their vote in the Beis HaMikdash. So Rosh Chodesh Av, right? Av is the month of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, right? Where the Avodah was taken away from us. Right, Mishenichnas Av, Mematim Besimcha. Right, so that's there was a kavona, there was a hashkocha that should be the day of Mises Aaron Hakoyin. So the Shira is that we, even within the Gzeris and the Tzoris of Klal Yisrael, we still recognize the Chasdei Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always there for us, and always has rachamim on Klal Yisrael, even when we deserve to be punished. And the Rabbeinu Bachaye points out that these masos are remez la'osid lovo, that just like Klal Yisrael traveled through the Midbar, 42 masos, so too li'osid lovo in the history of Klal Yisrael. We will be traveling. We'll have journeys from one place to another. We'll go into Golus, and then finally there'll be, just at the end of the 42 Masois, they came into Eretz Yisrael. There was the ultimate, the final Geula from the Golus of Mitzrayim. So too the Osi Lovo, there'll be the Geula after these 42 Masois that Klal Yisrael have to go through in their history. So that's also, it's guaranteed already from the very beginning that there will be an ultimate Geula, and therefore that's also part of the Shira. So that's, I didn't see anybody ever say this, but that's a possible mashal. Ramosha has a tshuva. We started talking about this yesterday. Of a Kohen who was living with a Nochris, and she wanted to be Megayer, and to be Megayer the children as well. And if the Bezdin would not be Megayer her, so he was threatening the Bezdin that he'll become a Mishumud. And the question was whether Bezdin should go through with the Geirus. And Ramosha says very, very clearly that Bezdin should not do that Geirus. We don't say chatei bishvil sheyizke chavercha, even though Bezdin is doing a lesser Aveira, right? And otherwise he'll become a Mishuma, he'll become a Christian, right? So, but Bezdin is not supposed to do even a small Aveira in order to prevent someone else from doing an Issa Chomor. And the reason for that, Ramesha brings down already the Tosis in Shabbos, because he's Poshea. Because wherever there is a Pshia, we don't say chatei bishul shiyis kachavir. That's one of the terutzim that Tosfos gives in Shabbos Dav Gimel. So Moshe points out that that's in a case where it would be a koyin, right? A koyin who would marry a giyores. So then Bezdin is not supposed to do that gerus. But in the case of other cases where there's to do the gerus l'shem yishus, and Israel is going to marry her, so then Ramosha says, under those circumstances, we would allow it, because we're in order to prevent other greater isurim, as we've seen in other tshuvas, but not in the case of a kohen marrying a geirus, even though he threatens to become a mishumad. In addition, not only is Bezdin not supposed to do the geirus, but the geirus won't be chal, Ramesha says. The geirus b'di'evet will not be chal, because this is chutz midova echad, right? If she's megaya almanas to marry a kohen, and the issa of marrying a kohen, she's a zayna, so the issa is on the kohen to marry her, but it's also an issa on her to marry the kohen. The issa is both ways on both of them, and therefore it's chutz midova echad, so there's no kabbalas mitzvahs. And therefore the geirus will not work even b'di'evet. And Ramesha goes through a lot of repetition in this tshuva that we've discussed already, but it's important because of this new nekuda of the giyores of gerus for someone who intends to marry a kohen. At the end of the tshuva, he quotes a tshuva from the Malamid Lahoyel. The Malamid Lahoyel has a very, very controversial tshuva which is not accepted lahalacha. It's a famous tshuva. It became famous because it's so controversial. Malami Lahoyel has a tshuva about being megayer, a woman, l'shem yishus, and she's going to marry a kohen. And he gave, and the Malami Lahoyel said, he gave a heta for the Bezdin to do that, because he said, it's kedai to be matzal the kohen from an issa chomor d'oraisa and chai ve'krisos. And now he'll only be over a lav. To marry a giyores, for a kohen to marry a giyores, is a lav. It's a lav of zoyna, right? But if they won't be megayah, so he'll be living with a non-Jewish woman, right? They're living with a non-Jewish woman. It's boyel aramis b'fahesya. People know about it, right? It's like a boyel, they don't have to see the biyah. like in the case of Zimri and Cosby, right? As long as 10 Jews know about it, that's considered to be b'farhesia, and therefore that's an issa deraisa kanoim pogimbo, and it's going to, then there's a chiyuv kores on it. So the Malamid Lahayel wanted, his reasoning was, let's minimize the issa. Minimize the issa. Now he'll only be over alav, but if you won't do the gerus, so then it'll be an issa kores. So Ramesha argues on that, and Ramesha says, no. He says, I don't understand it at all. Because if you're going to be, first of all, if you're going to be Megayeha, and the Kohen will live with her, now she's a Bas Yisrael, right? And they won't keep Hilchus Nida. They're not going to keep Hilchus Avius. They're not going to keep Hilchus Nida. So then he'll have Bia with a Nida, and he'll be Chayiv Kores. And like this, if he lives with her as a Goya, so there won't be an Issa Nida. There's a Din Nashkaz Midrabonon. There are certainly Surim Drabonon. And even if it will be Refarhesya, so that's a question. Will it be Refarhesya? If they live among Goyim, so it won't be Refarhesya. If they live among Yisrael, so maybe it will be Refarhesya, but the Issa Koritz there is a Koritz Midivri Kabbalah. Over here with Nida, it's a Koritz Midivri Raisa. So it's you're just creating greater averis by doing this game. So he doesn't understand the whole tshuva of the Malamid Lahayel. Malamid Lahayel is nidche mehalocha. It's not accepted lehalocha. But but Ramesha does quote that tshuva of the Malamid Lahayel. So therefore that's the case of a koyin with a giyaris. The Rambam in Isuri Bia, we've been waiting to do these Rambams for a number of days. So I just want to quickly read through the Rambams about Nishe, Shlomo, and Shimshin's wife, right? Because the Loshon of the Rambam is very, very important. And there were one or two things to point out over here. The Rambam writes in Alochi Yudalit, Al Yala al Daitcha Shimshin Hamoshias Yisrael, Lo Shlomo Melch Yisrael, Sheniko Yedidya, Nosu Noshim Nochrios Bigiyuson. They didn't marry non-Jewish women. Elasod hadova kahu. Interesting. The Rambam uses the Loshon sod. Right? We usually use sod when we're talking about Kabbalah. The Rambam says no. Sod hadova. You want to know what the insight, the understanding of what happened was. Shemitzvah nechaynik sheyovu agiro agiyaris liskaya bodkin machro shema biglal momin sheyito vishul svara sheyizkelo mivnei apachet bo likonis ladas. Dimishu boyki macho sheme ein of nosa bishu yehudis, isha hisheme neha nosa bevochum ni bachure yisrael, imlonim salahem ilo modiyan nosa. So the first thing, you have to check, do they have ulterior motives for the geirus? And if we found that they don't have ulterior motives, modiyan mosum kovid ola teira, teira shiyech pasi yosa, alame harotzas kide shifroshu, in kiblu velo pirshu, duro osan shechozru mi ahava mikabli mosum. Right? We see that they really have a passion for Yiddishkeit, a real commitment for Yiddishkeit. So then, mikavli mosam shenema v'terek misametzes hilolechas ito v'tachta v'techta ledaver elecho. Right? And Gemara quotes this pasuk from Rus that Naomi stopped when she saw ki misametzes hilolechas. Right? That she has to put in an effort to go. Right? So then she stopped trying to be doiche Rus. There's a fascinating shot on this that I saw from the Chedor. The Chedor says, well, what's the pshat? Vatere ki misametzes hilo leches, vatechta ledaver elecho. She was having difficulty going, so she normally stopped speaking to her. So the Chedor says, the pshat is based on the Gemara with Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Everyone's familiar with that Gemara. Rish Lakish was a listin, right? And he was able to jump over a river. And then Rabbi Yochanan offered him his sister in marriage. And he saw that he had potential to become a great Talmud Chacham. So then Rish Lakish was Mekabel right away. He was Mekabel Ol HaTorah right away. And then he tried jumping back over the river. What happened? Couldn't jump back. So Gemara says, why? Because in Mekabel Ol Torah, Right? So he didn't have the same koiches that he had before when he was a lister, when he was a basketball player. Right? He didn't have the same koiches. He couldn't dunk anymore. Right? So Antarian Matashas Koicha Shalodam. So Mishakibel, Rashi explains, Mishakibel Olav Oltaiva, Toshas Kocha. So when Rus was Mikabel Ol HaTaira, right? So was Matashas Koicha. So now she had some difficulty. She couldn't walk with the same briskness, with the same speed as before, because she was mekabel when mekabel otor. So then Naomi saw that she was mekabel the gerus belev sholim, and that's when she stopped speaking to us. I once heard pshat. Rabbi Tendler actually said this pshat many years ago. What is the pshat in that? We understand when the person's learning and you're a masmid and you learn 14, 15 hours a day. Mateshes koicha sholotam, right? It takes tremendous effort to learn Torah. But over here, Reish Lakish, all he said, I'm going to learn. He didn't start learning yet, right? They were out there in the wilderness, right? So he didn't start learning yet. So where's the Mateshes Koicha Sholodom? So one teretz is Ainochanami, just being Mekabel the old Torah. Then being Mekabel that yoke of Torah. It has that effect. But Rabbi Tendler said a very beautiful pshat, which is so true. Said the basketball players can dunk and they can jump 20 feet, right? And in the Olympics, right? The broad jump and all of these different types of sports where they have tremendous prowess and tremendous accomplishments. Why? Because they concentrate all of their efforts on that. That is the goal in life. That's the most important thing. If something is the most important thing, so then you're able to concentrate and focus and put in all your efforts and accomplish. Once Reish Lakish was mekabel the Ol of Torah, so the broad jump was not important anymore. Right? There were more important things. Learning Torah becomes the most important thing in his life. Now he can't jump back over. He can't dunk the ball anymore. Because it's not something that the adrenaline is going to work for that anymore. The adrenaline will work to understand the Shvera Rambam, to understand the Tosis or Rashba or Rabbi Kivegas Kasha. That's where the adrenaline is. That's where the concentration is now. That's what happens when one is Mikabel Ol Torah. This is the most important thing in the world, right? Everything else that I considered to be important before, right? Not so important anymore. That's basically what happens with the Ger and the Bala and Bali Tshuva as well, right? Before they had many, many other interests, right? That were the most important things. But now Torah becomes the most important thing. So that's what Vatera Kimisam Netzes Hilo Leches, right? That she didn't have, it was Torah, it was that Teshes Koichos Shalotam. I think it's a beautiful pshat. And it's certainly Emes. It's certainly Emes. You see that in real life. Okay, so then the Rambam goes on to say, the Lefichol lo kiblu bezdin gerim kol yimei David u'shlomo, v'yimei David shema min apachet chazu, v'yimei shlomo shema bishul hamalchus v'atoi v'agadoi l'shoyu bo Yisrael chazu, shukol achoizu min agoyim bishul domi mihav li'oylam, eino mi gerei tzedek. Right? So bezdin were not mekabel gerim v'yimei David u'shlomo. So how were there so many gerim v'yimei David u'shlomo? Gemara says 150,000 gerim v'yimei David u'shlomo, right? So Tosis asked that kasha on Daf Chavdala. What did Tosis answer? Nisgayru me'atzmon. They were megayru on their own. In other words, they claimed they were gerim, but they never went to Beis Din. That's how the Orchel and Eilers Pratt and Tosis. They never went to a Beis Din. They really weren't gerim, but they considered themselves to be gerim. Right? That's Tosis. The Rambam says a different teretz. How does the Rambam answer? The gerim b'mei David u'shlomo. They went to Beis Din Shel Hadraitis. They didn't go to reliable Batei Dinim. But Afal Pichein, Hoyu Gerim, Harbim Yisgerim, Vedor Yishlomi, Bifnei Hadraitis. Hoyu Beis Din HaGodol, Choy Shushim Lahem, Loi Doichim Oysam Acha Shetovlu, Mikol Mokom, Lo Mikorvim Oysam Acha Tirei Ach Rizom. They went to Beis Din Hadraitis. Batei Dinim, who were not, the Dayonim were not Talmidei Chachomim. It wasn't that they were Psulim. They weren't psulim, but they weren't talmidei chachamim, and therefore they were willing to accept these gerim, even though they had ulterior motives. So how did the Beis Din HaGadol react? The Rambam says they didn't reject them, but you also weren't mekariv them. They wanted to wait and see what is going to happen. Will they be gerit tzedek or not, or will they go off the derech? And therefore, the Rambam continues: Lafisha gear Shlomo Noshim and the son v'chein Shimshon gear v'nosa hadovi yodua shel chazu elo ela bishul dava v'lo al pi bez din girum choshem hakozu ilo hein goyis v'isurinayim. The Tanakh considers them to be like goyis. They really were gerim, but because they were megaya l'shem for ulterior motives, right? And and it wasn't based on a reliable batei dinim, so therefore, ki'ilu hen goyis v'isurin oimdim v'oshochiach soifon al chiloson shin oivdes avodah zorah shalahem ubonu lahem bonus. And eventually they went back to worshipping avodah zorah. Right? Eventually. Hochiach soifon al chiloson. And then the Rambam writes in Halacha Yitzayin, Yer shalo bodku achua v'shalo hodiyu amitzis v'inshon umol v'tovol b'fnei shloisha had yoitis. Right? They're megaya in front of a Beis Din shel hadyoitis, right? Even though they had an ulterior motive, bishul dova, they have a status of a ger. But we don't embrace them until we see how this gerus will end up. Will they be gerit tzedek in terms of marriage, in terms of embracing them in the community? Afilo choza ve'ovad avodah zorah harehu ki Yisrael mishumot shekidushav kidushin. Even if they eventually go back and worship avodah zorah, they have a status of they're Yisrael, but they're mishumodim. Lefichol kimushim shenu shlomo nishoseim afalpi shenigla soitim. And that's why, even though they went back, then Shei, Shimshon, and Shlomo went back to worshipping Avodah Zorah, they didn't divorce them, because they still retained their status as a Yisrael. So 2 points on these Rambams. Number one, and Reb Chaim Oizer explains the Rambam over here, that you see, b'di'eved, they have a status of Gerim, right? But the Rambam says that the Beis Din did not embrace them. They were not mekariv them. They wanted to see how it would end up. Why did they have a status of gerim? Because basically, the chazoka, the ritva, chazoka agav unsayu gamrei umekablei. Right? There was such a chazoka. But Reb Chaim Moses says, since in reality dvorim shevaleid have a dvorim by gerus. And if they really were not mekabel mitzvahs, right? So there's not going to be a gerus. So therefore, the Beis Din was choshish. The Beis Din waited, and they wanted to see what is going to happen. Achiz barer tzikosoi. So that's why. So they weren't doicha them, but they weren't mekariv them until they see exactly what would happen, because they were choshish that maybe they'll go back and to their chozul l'surun right away. Reb Moshe points out in the tshuva that we did yesterday. Reb Moshe points out there seems to be an inner contradiction within the Rambam, because the Rambam said if they go back to worship avodah zarah, hochiach sofon al tchiloson. Right, so that implies that the gerus will be bottom. It shows that they never really were mekabel mitzvahs. But then in Halacha Yud Zayin, the Rambam writes that even if they were megaya with an ulterior motive and chazar va'ovad avodah zorah, he's a Yisrael mishumot. He's a Yisrael mumot. Right, kiddush of kiddushin. Right, and that's why Shlomo did not divorce his wives. Did not send them away. So Reb Moshe says that here it seems that even if they go back and worship Avodah Zorah, it doesn't cancel the gerus. But in Halacha Tezayin, it seems Hoychiyat Seifan Al Tchiloson, then it would cancel the gerus. So Reb Moshe answers a very important nekuda in Reb Moshe. Anybody recall what Reb Moshe says?
Over Zman Gadol.
Yeah, it depends when they go back to worship Avodah Zorah. If they're keeping mitzvahs for a period of time, I don't know how long, but for a period of time, Zman Gadol, and then they go back to worship Avodah Zorah, that means then they got a new Yetzer Hara. They really were mekabel mitzvahs, and now the Yetzer Hara came back, and for her to worship Avodah Zarah, so that's not going to invalidate the Geirus. Masha Enkein, if they continue after the Geirus to do Averis, as the Kutim did, right? As Hashem Hoyu Yureim, Ves Eloheim Hoyu Ovdim, right? They continue worshipping Avodah Zarah, even though they probably daven three times a day to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? So then that invalidates the Geirus. So that's what Ramesha points out. Hochiyah Sofel Atchiloson is only going to be if it's very, very clear that there was no Kabbalas mitzvahs initially. But if it's not, that's not clear, right? That's not clear at all because there were Shemei mitzvahs and for a Zman Godol, Ramesha says, and then they went back to worshipping Avodah Zarah. So that is not going to invalidate the Geirus. Yes?
I understand. It's still clear because Ram says that the same Yishosei and the Shol Shomo that they themselves went old, someone got Mashiach HaTchilas, and then later the next halacha he says that they still have them because it was too, so much later.
I know. Ramesha doesn't answer that. He doesn't answer. He's saying, in theory, he's saying, Seifon Hochiach HaTchilason. One second. Where is the. He's saying about many things, Noshim of Shlomo and Shimshin. Yeah, Noshim of Shlomo and Shimshin. So that's a little unclear. Alchiyach Sofon al Chiloson, Shalahem Avodas Avodah Zarah. You have to say that they did not worship Avodah Zarah right away. And so it's Hochiyah Sofal Atchiloson that they weren't Geirat Tzedek. Not that it would be Mavatal the Geirus. That's what you have to say. That they weren't Geirat Tzedek because what Ramesh was talking about, we want to see Achrisim whether they're really Geirat Tzedek. So it turns out that they really were not Geirat Tzedek, but there was a Chalois of the Geirus. I don't know. These Rambams are very, very difficult, and they do require more clarification. Okay, so that's the Rambams. The Rav Shlomo Zalman and the Beis Yitzchok both write in a tshuva about the Beis Din. If Beis Din is Megayer, Geirim. Who are not going to keep mitzvahs. So Shlomo Zalman writes that the Beis Din is going to. There's an umdano that they're not going to keep all of the mitzvahs, even though there were mekabel mitzvahs and dvorim shavalei vein and dvorim. But there's a if it turns out that we see and there's a suspicion that they're not going to keep the mitzvahs, so then the Shlomo Zalman writes there's going to be an issa of lifnei ivel lo siten michshol on the Beis Din. The Beis Din is not allowed to be megayer geirim who they think are not going to keep mitzvahs, even though it might not be an umdana de muchoch that in certain cases an umdana de muchoch. They won't keep mitzvahs. Then there's no kabbalas mitzvahs at all. The geirus is not a geirus. But in other cases, they have a suspicion that they won't keep mitzvahs. He says it's korov. He says it's krov alei choshev kidvorim shebeliva v'leiv kol adam shelibam balimam. It's a very strong suspicion, but it's not an umdana muchach. So it won't necessarily invalidate the geirus, but to be megayer such people, the Beis Din is placing a michshol, because before they were megayer, and if they did all kinds of averis and except the shevan mitzvahs, they wouldn't get an einish. And now you're creating the Beis Din is creating a michshol for them that now they're doing averis, they're mechal shabbos, they're oichel nevelos, and so that's a michshol. So the Beis Din zayfer on lifnei iver lo sitei michshol. And the Beis Yitzchok said this earlier than Rav Shlomo Zalman. But the Beis Yitzchok had another insight into this. The Beis Yitzchok said, he says, Mimanashoch, right? If they're Megayer people who are going to keep mitzvahs, then obviously there's no Lifnei Iver. If they're Magaya people where there's an umdan of the muchok that they won't keep mitzvahs, so then they remain goyim. So there's also no lifnei iver towards the ger, because they remain goyim. So they'll be mechalos Shabbos and they'll eat tarfis, right? But they're not mitzvah on it because they remain goyim. However, there's still a lifnei iver, not necessarily towards the ger, but a lifnei iver for the rest of Klal Yisrael. Because people think that they are Jews, right? The conservative and reform gerus, right? So many people think that they're really Jewish, and they will marry. They'll marry them. So they'll be intermarriage, right? Thinking it's really intermarriage, but the people think that they're Jews. So if an Orthodox Besdin would be Magaya people who really are, there's no chalais of the gerus, but they're going around presenting themselves as Jewish and they're part of the community, and obviously they're going to marry other Jews. So then there's a lifnei iver in terms of other people. They're machshil the tzibur. The Beis Yitzchok talks about Hare machshil la'acherin shechoshin shu Yisrael amasin lo bito ve'emeseinu ger v'dino kenochmi. So there is a lifnei iver on the dayonim, a lifnei iver on the bezna, which is very, very critical, a very, very important, point. Shlomo Zalman goes on to say an interesting point. Somebody apparently suggested, well, if we want to solve the problem of gerim, right, who are not going to keep mitzvahs, and therefore the gerus was not chal, you know what we can do? Don't be megayer him to become a ger, be megayer him to become an eved kenani, right? And that he should be owned by another person, and that person will be meshachre him right away, it'll be almanas l'shachrero, and then it's bal korcho, he has to keep mitzvahs, right? He has to, then there's, it's not totally in Kabbalah, there's no halacha of Kabbalah. But it's still, Rav Shlomo Zalman said, that eitz is not going to work, bichlal. First of all, it's against Dina de Malchusa Dina. And secondly, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, where is the Shlomo, Rav Shlomo Zalman? He says that they're not mechavin, it's an umden of the muchav, they're not mechavin for avdus, not lechavin for avdus, and also you're going to be over on the lav of lifnei iver. That's not going to solve the problem of lifnei iver. Maybe they'll have a chalois of being a Jew, but the lifnei iver problem will still be there because they're not going to keep mitzvahs. Now bal korchem, they're a Jew, but they won't keep Shabbos, they won't keep kashrus. So it's not really going to solve many of the issues. So the Moshe Sternbach wrote a tshuva, which was really the basis of Rav Avraham Sherman's recent tshuva on the Geirus issue in Eretz Yisrael. And he quotes this tshuva from Rav Moshe Sternbach. He has two tshuvas about this. Rav Moshe Sternbach raises an issue which really terrifying, the issue that he raises, because he says those batei dinim which have standards which are not according to halacha, and they're willing to be megayer gerim who are not going to keep mitzvahs, right? And therefore the gerus is not chal. But Moshe Sternbach says even the gerim who are true gerei tzedek, who go to those batei dinim, right? Possibly the gerus should not work. Why? Even though they truly are mekabel mitzvahs, but the dayonim apostle. The dayonim apostle to be dayonim, because if these dayonim are over on lifnei iver lo sitei mirshol, based on Rav Shlomo Zalman, the Minchas Shah Shlomo, based on the Beis Yitzchok, right? That they are over on lifnei iver lo sitei mirshol, so they're over on alav, and they become rishoyim, and they are apostle lodu, the apostle, and therefore even a ger tzedek, possibly his gerus is not a valid, gerus. In addition, he points out, like the Ursa Meir said, if the whole basis of the gerus today, when we don't have smuchim, is shlichosayu kavdinon, so Bezdin can only be shluchim of the kamoi, only if they do things properly. But if they're doing geirus, which is kilo shelo birtzon chachomim, it's against halacha. They're being megayer people who are not going to. It's obvious that these people are not going to keep mitzvahs under the muchach. The geirus is not a geirus, yet they're saying that they are geirim. So then they can't be shluchim de kamoi, and therefore, based on both of those grounds. And you can't say shlichosayu kavdina. And number two, maybe the dayonim are psulim themselves because they themselves are over alav in the Torah of lifnei ivel osite mirshom. So then that would disqualify a geirus even of a true ger tzedek. So Moshe Sternberg had this shayla. I think it was in South Africa because most of these tshuvas of geirus and his Bali Tshuva Shailas come from South Africa. He used to spend 6 months a year in South Africa and 6 months in Eretz Yisrael for many, many years. And of course, today he's the Avbezdin of the Eda Charedis. Tremendous. I mean, you've all seen his svarim, Moyadim Uzmanim, right? It's a tremendous Talmud Chacham. So therefore, he had a case of somebody, a Ger Tzedek, who was Mamish, a Chosid, who was Megayer in one of these Batei Dinim in Eretz Yisrael, and it was during the Sheva Brachis, and there was a Shaila whether to give him an Aliyah. Was it really? Can we really rely on such a Geris? Because he was Megayer in a Bezdin, which had very, very loose standards, and that they could be a Posel as a Bezdin. So he was very hesitant about giving him an aliyah, and in the end he did give him an aliyah because he wanted to rely on the one day in Tosis, the Yesh Mefarshim in Tosis on Daf Mem Hei of the Beis, that since this Chosid always goes to mikvah, right, Milo Toval Likeryo, right? So it's like he was Tovel in front of a Bezdin, that Yesh Mefarshim in Tosis, it's a Nansahad, everyone knows that he goes to mikvah. So therefore, it's we're the Anansadi, we're the Bezdin. And therefore he said, I'll give him an aliyah on Shabbos, but he should go to a Bezdin and be Tovel, a kosher Bezdin, and be Tovel again, the next day. And he points out, and he writes about this very, very, very strongly, that unfortunately there are many Batei Dinim in Eretz Yisrael, and who are being Megaya Gerim, who the Russians have no intent, many of them have no intention at all of keeping mitzvahs, right? Their whole relationship to Eretz Yisrael is only nationalistic, and they were able, and there were many Goyim, like 50% of the Russians, I think they say, are really Goyim, who came out. They wanted to get out of Russia, and they were able to come to Eretz Yisrael. Right, so now they want to marry a Jewish woman, so they're being megaya totally l'shem yishus. Not it's an umda l'muchach that it's not a geirus at all with kabbalas mitzvahs, and this is a situation where it's wholesale geirus, and therefore Rav Moshe Sternbach says that the Bezdin would be disqualified. The tshuva, the recent tshuva that raised so much controversy in Eretz Yisrael, were Avram Sherman's tshuva, right? As I gave you the first four pages, it's a tshuva 40 pages long. So I gave you the first four pages. I don't want to go through it so much because I just want to point out what his argument was about Rabbi Drachman's Bezdin. And we'll be very frank, we'll be very open, right? Everyone knows what happened, that Rabbi Drachman has a Bezdin for conversions, and there's really wholesale conversions. They are converting people that for the past 10 years where they've been converting people who there was an umdana demuchov that they would not keep mitzvahs. And therefore, Rav Avram Sherman, the case came to the Bezdin in Ashdod about a woman who had been Megayer, and she wanted to get a get from her husband. The husband refused to give her a get. And the Bezdin of Ashdod, so he wrote a tshuva, I think his name was Rav Atiyah. He wrote a tshuva that you don't need a get. Why? Because your geirus is not a geirus. And your geirus is not a geirus, so you're a goyah, so you don't need a get. And the reason why the gerus is not a gerus is because it was done in front of one of the batei dinim, that these conversion batei dinim. And he claimed, and this is Rav Avram Sherman claimed, that the Beis Din is possible. There are two reasons. Number one, there was no Kabbalah mitzvah in this particular case. In this particular case, and he wasn't necessarily done on every single gerus in the past 10 years, whether there was Kabbalah mitzvah or not. So, but in this particular case, there was no Kabbalah mitzvah. And secondly, he said, and this is what he writes about Ba'arichus in these first four pages, that the besides the fact that there was no Kabbalah mitzvah, so that's Ma'akiv the gerus b'di'evit. But furthermore, the best in is possible. The best in that you went to be Megayah is possible. Why? Because based on these reasons. And he quotes from Moshe Sternbach's Truvis, and he quotes the whole Truvis, because the best in Zoyvan Lifne Ivel, Lositein Michshol, right? And there's no Shlichusayu Koavdinon over here. And that's that was his basic argument. Not so much about, well, we'll analyze each and every gerus and see whether there was a Kabbalah mitzvah. But if the Beis Din is possible, because the Beis Din, the hanhoga of the Beis Din is that they're willing to be megayer people that are clearly not going to be mekabel mitzvahs, so then that disqualifies the Beis Din. And I'm not going to read through this. You can take this at your leisure and read through the first four pages where I underline most of it, and Reb Moshe Sternbach's Truvis, and the Mincha Shlomo, he quotes Reb Shlomo Zalman. So a lot of it is based on this Yisod of Lifnei Ivel Lo Sitein Michshol. Yes.
Why didn't you say that the whole time the Shifu Zarek Abinan, like a Falginan, like for the years that were good, then the whoever, however, Shifus is working would work for the basin, even though the basin did other things that weren't good. If this is Zachia for the Khan, so why wouldn't those garrisons work?
I hear what you're saying. But it's apparently the Beis Din Shlichosayu works that they want to have Shluchim who are reliable, who are trustworthy, who are keeping halacha, who are not willing to accept Goyim clearly into Klal Yisrael. So such people are not roi to be dayonim, and therefore there wouldn't be a shlichosayim. I mean I think it's a pretty clear cut story. Yes.
How did the dinosaur say? I mean, Shlomach himself found that there are different kulas. Like, you don't necessarily have to say that they're shoyim. And in those cases, there may be shlichosayim. Shlichosayim was only a point of spark according to some shoyim.
Right.
How would you matter an issue to almost like that? Just say, oh, you're a goya. I'm saying the point of any issue is wrong. Maybe you don't hold shlichosayim. Don't do a sechem. They don't hold of necessarily that the Beis Din Rishoyim is necessarily possible. Not necessarily Rishoyim.
Well, Rishoyim are definitely possible. The Beis Din Rishoyim is definitely possible. So then you have to go through this truth. I don't want to get into the details of this, but the Beis Din Rishoyim is certainly possible. Anyone who's possible Leedus is also possible to be a Dayan. Not only that, there are certain qualities of Dayanus that are seven. The Rambam lists seven different things that are necessary for a person to be a Dayan, and therefore, even though one might argue that they thought they were doing a mitzvah, they thought that they were the Beis Din felt this is the right thing to do, even though they knew, the Batei Dinim know that these people are not going to keep mitzvahs, but they feel maybe this is the right thing, there's some kind of justification, or maybe they heard a tshuva once from some Rav, right, from some Rav who says as long as they have a love of Eretz Yisrael, right? Rav Gorins wanted to say that. If they have a love of Eretz Yisrael and a love of the Jewish people, that's good enough. That's good enough for Gerut. So they were mistaken. I mean, that's not accepted by anybody, la halacha, that the nationalistic feelings doesn't make you into a Ger. But maybe they were mistaken. They were, you know, they thought that they were doing the right thing. So maybe they're really not Rishoyim. They're doing it Bishogeg or Imamuta. So, I mean, there are, I don't want to get into the details of all the arguments. There's been a lot written about this, the Chuvis back and forth on this. But I just want to, you should have a perspective of what the issue is in this case. Yes?
I'm sorry,
going to say that. So even at this person here, Gary, even if the basin was no good, then just be a shot at the top, or I know the value of the people.
Maybe, I mean, that's what you mean. He said, still, we have a concept of Gerus L'chumra, right? This person wants to be a Jew without any sfeikas, without any questions on him, right? So, to be a Jew based on one sheet in Tosis, right? One sheet in Tosis, but according to the other sheet in Tosis, you're not Jewish, right? So, yeah, that's...
Everything in the past,
maybe, yeah, everything in the past. I know Hanami. It could be. That you have to ask a shayla of a gadol. Okay, so that's the. I just to give you a perspective on that issue. Let me just want to end the shiurim on Geirus with with one last topic. What?
Vegetarian problem?
No. That we'll discuss that afterwards. Okay. We'll discuss that. But one last topic, because this is a fascinating. I once gave a. Also on Shavuos in Young Israel. Every year before Shavuos, I give a shiur to Young Israel in Karpo. And so a number of years ago, I gave the shiur about Matan Torah, the Geirus of Matan Torah. Because there's a tremendous question about the Geirus of Matan Torah. What is that? Here it is. Right. We learn Geirus of Matan Torah is the source of the halachas of Geirus. We started off learning that, right? Mila, Tvila, and of course Kabbalah's Mitzvahs. And there's a big question that the Maharal in Gur Aryeh, in Parshas Vayigash, the Maharal raised the question. Right? Well, if Matan Torah was a din of Geirus of Klal Yisrael, so then we should say Right? And therefore, they're not related to each other. Just like if a ger is megayer, and then later on his parents are megayer, then there's no relationship, there's no kirva, no yichus between them, because kekotin shenoy ladomi. So too, by Matan Torah, everyone should not be related to each other. Right? And they shouldn't be related to the office either. And the kasha that the Maharal raises is we know that in Parshas Bahaloischa the Torah says by Kivras Hatayva on Boicha leMishpachosav that they were crying over the Isav Arayis that they couldn't marry a sister, they couldn't marry an aunt, but it was after Matan Torah, they're not related anymore. Midoraisa, they were allowed to marry a ger. A ger is not supposed to marry relatives that are also to Klal Yisrael midrabbonim because shelo yomu bonu mikdusha chamura likdusha kala. But midrabbonim, he's allowed to marry his aunt. He's allowed to marry his sister. He's allowed to marry his mother. Right? So so why would they boicha lemishbechaisav? What happened to the principle of gershin izgaya kikotin shenoy ladomi amatate? The famous kasha of the Maharal. Anybody know the Maharal's Teretz?
Since it was called
the Har Kigis,
therefore there was no strength, there's no kippah of Matan
Torah. There's by a Geirus al Yedei Kfiya, there's no din of Geir Shenayla Kikot and Shenayla Domi. That's the Maharal answers. The Geirus of Matan Torah was Chochaleim Har Kigis, and therefore there's no din of Geir Shenizkaya Kikot and Shenoy Ladomi. Only by a voluntary geirus do we have that halacha, and the Maharal doesn't really explain it; he just says it, but that answers the kasha. The heim huchuchu lekabel the kof aleim harki gigis leramina bazeh the heavy kikotin shenoy lad. A person is megaya meyatzmo voluntarily, then we say he's a kikotin shenoy lad. He's a very acheris, he's like a new person, and he's not related to any of his biological relatives. Masha Enkein by a Geirus Derech Kfiya, but he doesn't explain why. What's the difference between a Geirus Derech Kfiya and a Geirus Meirotzen? Right? So Rav Hutna, I'm going to give three answers on this kasha. So Rav Hutna explains, the first answer is the Maharal. Rav Hutna in the Pachad Yitzchok explains, and I'd like to read this Pachad Yitzchok inside Maimachov. It's just so poetic. I don't know how many of you have ever learned Pachad Yitzchok, but it's like, it's unbelievable. It's like poetry. Lomdis and machshava in poetry. So the he explains the Maral. You have the Pachad Yitzchok. I gave it to you. It doesn't say Pachad Yitzchok, but it says Maimachov. So viduba bekan perish lefei rushay. Dinei bechol makom deleein and rotzayin ein akfiya mo'ila. Ela mitoich mashana waimim shakfiya ho'ilido as giluya shala rotzan apnimi. Shat shas akfiya ho'yasosin ve'otom mekupo b'mamakim. Where do we find that kaifin works? Where do we find this concept of kaifin oisei and kviya works? You're familiar with the Rambam, right? By a get. Kaifin oisei. They forced the husband to give a get, and he says, reitzani, right? So kviya works over there, right? Why does kviya work? How does the Rambam explain that? Why kviya works? And the Rambam explains. Because the rotzen apnimi of a person comes out. The reason why a person doesn't want to do the right thing is because the yetzahara is shoylet, right? The yetzahara is taivis are shoylet over him. But if you remove those taivis and the yetzahara, so then the true inner will of the person comes out. The true inner will of a Jew is what? True inner will of a Jew is to do the right thing, is to do the rotzen of Hashem. So then kfiya will work in a case like that. But what din v'hi amida gam v'kfiya sar Sinai mitzad hayoysem shal hashishim ribo mimnei Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov arminu v'hu shakfiya lo hoysa el gili rotzen apinimi gili zehu shomad lahem l'kaba l'atzu and kol pashas agir. Why do we say that svara that the true inner rotzen of a person comes out when they're kai for him, right? Because we're b'nei Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. Because we come from the Ovis, and the inner rotzin of the Ovis was to do the rotzin of Hashem, right? And they were kinder, they acquired that midah. Avram through all the nisyonis, Yitzchak through the akedah. So that became the true inner rotzin of Klal Yisrael. So he says, the Maharal says that the Klal of Gershon Yiskaya Pikotin Shanoilad was only stated when a person's Mekabel. Geirus berotzayin. So then, he's mekabel geirus berotzayin. So it has no shaychus to an event of the past. It's an event of the present. So he cuts all ties. He severs all ties. But when it's a geirus derech kfiya, how can such a geirus work? How can it be effective? When you need for geirus, you need rotzin and das lehizgayin. So how is it effective? Only because we have a kesher with the past. With Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Because we have that bond. We have the midos and the schus ovis, right? The qualities and the midos of the ovis. And that true inner rotzin, right? To do the rotzin of Hashem, to do the right thing. That's why a geirus derech kfiya will work. Otherwise, it shouldn't work, bichlal. So therefore, Rav Hutna explains, you can't say kikotin shenoylan dom. Kikotin shenoylan would mean that you're severing the connection to the past, to the office. And that would defeat the whole purpose. That would undermine the whole gerus. There couldn't be a gerus then. Because then you say there's no inner rotzen apanimi, right? Rotzen apanimi to do the rotzen of Hashem. That's only because we're connected to the office. That's how Rav Hutna explains. Beautiful. Unbelievable insight that Rav Hutna has in explaining the Maharal. The Rav has a second answer. Rav has a second answer how the Geirus of Matan Torah worked, and there was no Gershin Yisgayir Kekotin Shenoila Domi by Matan Torah. So the Rav says that he quotes the Rambam in Perek Yugimel Halacha Aleph. And the Rambam writes, where do we see karvin? Shenemar vayishalach esnare bnei Yisrael vayalu olos al yidei kol Yisrael hikrivum. Right, the nare bnei Yisrael brought korbonis al yidei kol Yisrael for all of Klal Yisrael. Right, so the Rav is, what does the Rambam mean? Al yidei kol Yisrael. So the Rav pointed out that we find the same Loshin in Rambam by Soyer HaMishtaleach. The Rambam writes, Soyer HaMishtaleach, Lefishu Kapor al Kol Yisrael Koyin Godol Misvada Olov Aloshin Kol Yisrael. The Kohen Gadol is Misvada on the Soya Mishtaleach for all of Klal, for all of Klal Yisrael. So the Rav explained that the Soya Mishtaleach is really a Korban Tzibur. The Kohen Gadol is Misvada, a Vidui of the Tzibur. He represents, he's the Shliach of the whole Tzibur. So it's a Kapara of the Tzibur and a Vidui of the Tzibur. So he says the same thing, that's what the Rambam means over here by Matan Torah. The korban that Nare B'nai Yisrael brought for Geirus was a korban atzibur of all of Klal Yisrael. It was a korban atzibur. And therefore, it seems on the Rambam that the Geirus of Klal Yisrael of Matan Torah was not a Geirus of 600,000 individuals, right? Individual Geirus, but it was a Geirus of the Tzibur. Just one time in history. Every Geirus is always individuals. But there was one time in history by Matan Torah that it was a Geirus of all of them, the Vasachas, the Chalos Geirus, the Chalos Geirus of the Tzibur. And that's what they said, Ki Ish Echad, Belev Echad, Nasa V'Nishma. So it was a Geirus of the whole Tzibur as one entity. And therefore, the Rav said, you don't say Kikotin Shenei Ladomin in such a Geirus. When do you say Kikotin Shenei Ladomin? When it's a Geirus of an individual. So the son, the father is Megayir, so he's an individual. And then even if later on the son is Megayir, right? They severed their connection. Kikotin Shenei Ladomin, because it was the Geirus of Yechidim. But when it's a Geirus, the Geirus of Matan Torah was a different Heftza of Geirus. It was a Geirus, one Geirus on the whole Tzibur Ke'echod. And therefore, there's no din of Kikotin Shenoi Ladomi. Right? Because it was a Geirus HaTzibur. It's a tremendous Chiddush. But that's how the Rav answers. And that's then the Rav says, with this we can also answer the Kash of the Ritva in Suvis. Geirus of Ketanim. We saw this. We're not totally quoted. The Shita Mekubetzes and Ksuvis. How the Geirus of Ketanim, how was it Chal by Matan Torah? If we say that Bez the Matbinon also Matbinon Kotten Al Das Bezdin, then it's only a Din Durabonon because Zochin Odom Shaloi Befonov by a Kotten is only Durabonon. So how could there be Geirus of Ketanim by Matan Torah? There were plenty of children. There were plenty of Ketanim at the time of the Geirus of Matan Torah. So how was that? How was that Geirus Chal? Right? So the Rav said, if we say that it's a Geirus of the Tzibur, it's a unique type of Geirus by Matan Torah. It was not a Geirus of individuals. It was a Geirus of the whole Tzibur Ke'echod. Therefore, you don't need the das of each and every individual. Why is Geir Kotten only a Geirus to Rabbonin? According to many Rishonim. Because he has no das, right? So it's based on Zochin Donav Shalom Afonav. But if it's a Geirus of the Tzibur, whoever is part of that Tzibur, right? Mimela the Geirus is Chal on them. And therefore, Ketanim, what the Geirus of the Ketanim was as a Chaluk of the Tzibur. That's the Rav. I gave you the Harei Kedem. He says that. There's a third answer, though. There's a third answer, and that I think we can give a third answer. Of how the why there is no din of Gershon Yiskaya Kikotin Shenoi Ladomi based on Reb Naftali Trop that we learned, right? Remember we saw the Reb Naftali. Reb Naftali Trop said without going through all the kashas, Reb Kivegas kasha and the Reb Naftali's kashas, Reb Naftali Trop said a big yisoid by Geirus. Anybody remember the yisoid? Two dinim in Geirus. Okay, but the two dinim, they're just the two dinim in Geirus is that one din in Geirus is that you become a Shem Yisrael, you become a member of Klal Yisrael. And then there's a second din in Geirus to get Kedushas Yisrael, right? To get Kedushas Yisrael. So with this, Rav Naftali Trop answered Rabbi Kivegas Kasha, if Uba Lav Yerechimo, right? So how can and the mother was Megayer when she was Muberes. So Tosa says the Geirus is a Geirus Doiraisa. It's a Geirus Doiraisa, even though by Kotten, Geir Kotten, it's only a Geirus Dorabon. So Kivega asks, why should it be a Geirus Doiraisa? After all, it's also based on Zochin Yodam Shaloi Befono. So Naftali answered that by the case of a Muberes, the father was a goy, but the mother, the pregnant mother, was Megayim. So the child is born from a Jewish mother. So right away, the moment he's born, what does he have? Shem Yisrael. He has the yichus of Yisrael because he was born from a Jewish mother, right? What's lacking? Kedushas Yisrael. Kedushas Yisrael, and therefore he has to complete the gerus according to the Ramban with the milah afterwards. But he's lacking Kedushas Yisrael, right? And Rav Naftali said that in a case like this, the gerus is that gerus for Kedushas Yisrael is going to be midoy raisa. Why? He's muchroch. He has to undergo that gerus because once you have that Shem Yisrael, that Yichus Yisrael, so then it's muchroch to continue and complete the gerus with Kedushas Yisrael. And he based that on the Shita Mekubetzes in Ksuvis, that Ketanim who were at the time of Matan Torah became Yisraelim Gemurim through the gerus of Matan Torah. Why? So the Shita Mekubetzes says because they were Bnei Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. They had the Yichus of Yisrael. They had the Shem Yisrael. What was lacking by Matan Torah was the Kedushas Yisrael. But the Shem Yisrael, they already had because they were Bnei Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And now, by Matan Torah, they had to be Mekabel, Torah and Mitzvahs, in order to complete the Geirus and get the Kedushas Yisrael. So, Mimela, that Geirus can be done Shaloi Midas HaKetanim. Right? Because it's muchroch to complete that gerus, and that gerus is min ha-Torah, and that's how he answers Rabbi Kivegas Kasha that muberes shenis gaira, the child is going to be a ger min ha-Torah. Okay, so I think with this teretz of Naftali drop, we can also answer the kasha of ger cotton, not ger cotton of. Right? That the din, and this is a chiddush, I'm basing it on Rav Naftali's yisod, that there are two dinim in gerus. There's one din and one aspect of gerus that gives the ger Shem Yisrael, and the other and Yichus Yisrael, and the other aspect of gerus that gives him Kedushas Yisrael. So the din of ger sheniskaya kikotin shenoy ladomi is only as far as the Shem Yisrael, not as far as the Kedushas Yisrael. So mimelo by Matan Torah that they already had Shem Yisrael, they had them reyuchas after the Ovis. All they needed for that gerus of Matan Torah was Kedushas Yisrael. On that type of gerus, which is only for Kedushas Yisrael, there's no din of ger sheniskaya because they already had Shem Yisrael. But if it's in any other case of Geirus, where the Geirus is for both of these dinim, in order to get the Shem Yisrael, to become a member of Klal Yisrael, if you're becoming a member of Klal Yisrael, you're severing your ties to any other nation, right? To get the Shem Yisrael, so you have to sever your ties. That's Geir Sheniskaya, Kikotin Shenoy Ladom. So we have three answers on this kasha of how was it that by Matan Torah there was no din of Ger Sheniskaya Kikotin Shenoy Ladom. Anybody know the Meshech Chochmah? Meshech Chochmah says there was a din of Ger Sheniskaya Kikotin Shenoy Ladom. Meshech Chochmah in Parshas Veschanan. Take a look at the Meshech on the Pasuk Shuvu Lochem Le'Ohaleichem. The Meshech Chochmah asked the Kasha, how were they able to go back to their wives after Matan Torah? He asked the Kasha, after all, Mistom and many of them were married to their aunts. Like Amram was married to Yocheved, he was married to his aunt. Many of them were married to Arayis, right, to relatives. And yet the Torah says, Shuvu lochem lo aleichem, go back to your wives after Matan Torah. How could they do that? How could they do that? So Meshech Chochmah says, because Ger Sheniskaya Kukotin Shenoy Ladom. And he says, that's the marker for the din of Ger Sheniskaya. We have no pasuk, there's no drosha. So Meshech Chochmah says that's the mocha. Shuvu lochem lo'aleichem. I don't know how he answers these kashas, yeah, but that's the Meshech Chochmah. And I'm just telling you the Meshech Chochmah that you should know. There is a Meshech Chochmah who says that by Matan Torah there was a din of Ger Sheniskaya Kikotin Shenoy Ladom. Possibly he would answer that they're crying on Arayis, not the Arayis that they had from before Matan Torah, but they're crying on future Arayis. on future. A brother can't marry a sister, can't marry an aunt. Remember, there was a very strong Yetzirah for Arayis in those times. The Yetzirah for Arayis was destroyed at the beginning of Bais Sheni, right? The Gemara in Sanhedrin. But then they had, we can't understand this, but they had, there was a very strong Yetzirah for Arayis, for relatives, incest, and things like that. But that was destroyed by Anshei Knesset HaGedolim. Okay, so what do you say about the vegetarian becoming a ger? Let's just discuss that. Yes.
Somebody says he doesn't believe she has mitzvahs, even if he's a ger.
What would you say?
I would say no.
Some
kind of mitzvah.
You know, Kabbalah's mitzvahs is not only the technical act of doing mitzvahs. It has to be the Kabbalah of Yesodos of Emunah, right? The Ikrei Emunah. So if he doesn't believe in one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim of the Rambam, he can't become a ger. And they focus a lot on that in training, in the programs for gerim, that they should learn what the Ikrei Emunah of Torah, what the Ikrei Emunah are. Yeah, that's for sure. For sure, that he would not become a ger. So what about the vegetarian?
So he's saying that he is unwilling to do any of the korbanos when they come back. Then he's rejecting mitzvahs, even though they don't apply to us to Banazah, they're still in the canon of all Tariag mitzvahs.
So what does it mean he's unwilling to do the korbanos? What does it mean? He's unwilling to be makriv a korban.
He's unwilling to eat from the
unwilling shlomi. to eat from the meat of the korbanos. Yeah. Anyone else?
Does he actually have to eat the meat? He can probably just give it to his family, no?
Could be. He can give it to his family. Okay. Yeah. Is there any time that he actually has to eat meat? There's a mitzvah for him to eat meat? Korban Pesach, there is a mitzvah to eat from the Korban Pesach. Yeah. It's not ma'akiv the hakrova if you can't eat, but there is a mitzvah doiraisa to eat from the Korban Pesach. It's counted as one of the tariag mitzvahs to eat from the Korban Pesach. What? Simchas Yontes. But that's only Bizman HaMikdosh. Bizman HaZeh not. It's Yayin, not Basel. So I think it's an interesting question to talk about, but I think the first thing that you have to discuss is, why is he a vegetarian? Is it ideological? Right? Is it ideological, or because he just doesn't like meat, or for health reasons? Right? If it's ideological, he believes that it's like many of the, the PETA people, right? That shechting an animal is tzar bali chayim, it's barbaric, and it's wrong, it's immoral, right? So then he's rejecting a principle in the Torah. He's rejecting mitzvahs. If that's so ideological, there's no question about it, right? If it's just that he just doesn't like meat, right? He doesn't like meat, or for health reasons, and that, you know. So then one could discuss that, is that considered to be chutz midover echad? Is that a chutz midover echad? Yes, Yoni.
How do you respond to the fact they weren't allowed to meet? We weren't allowed to eat meat until Noach, and it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's original intention not to eat.
So there are about 25 terutzim in the Rishayim on that question. So Ayin Shom, I'm not going to go through it, but everyone asked that, what happened by Noach, and why is it different? But the Torah does have korbanis and does say that there's shechita and that there's a mitzvah under certain circumstances to eat meat, and that you can shecht animals. It might even be a kiyum mitzvah when you shecht an animal, not just the heter. We're not going to go off on that tangent. Yes.
Even if you say maybe it's ideological, like I think sort of what you're alluding to, like some people said it's by slavery. So they may say, okay, slavery was a mitzvah of the Torah, absolutely, but it doesn't mean that it was a luchatchila din. The idea of slavery is not something that's a nice idea.
But the Torah says they're korbanos.
It's not mutter, it's a mitzvah. So he's saying it's not necessarily the ideal idea. So he's saying, when it comes to korbanos, I'll do my mitzvahs. But not necessarily.
Who says it's not the ideal?
What?
Who says it's not the idea?
The Rambam
in Mori Nevuchim?
Yeah. No,
not Mori Nevuchim. I know Rav Kook. I know what he says, and it's misinterpreted. Rav Kook never said that. And the Rambam does not say that there will not be korbanos in Yom HaMashiach.
No, I'm saying that the idea of korbanos is so you say, you'll say, to be honest.
Oh, no, you mean why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us korbanos?
Right.
To counteract the Avodah Zarah.
So if he says, in an ideal world, no one should have to eat korbanos, but since we don't live in an ideal world.
Yeah, but we don't live in an ideal
world. So I'll say, I'll eat korbanos when I have to, but otherwise I don't think it's
no, well, I'm talking about a vegetarian who says, I'm not going to eat meat. I'm not going to eat meat. Bottom line, right? And ideologically, I hold it's wrong to eat meat. I hold it's wrong to shecht an animal. Can't say it's wrong. If the Torah says you're supposed to do it, you can do it, and you're supposed to do it in the circles. How can you say it's wrong? It's wrong.
He says it's b'di'evet.
What?
You can't say it's b'di'evet. The Torah says you ought to have slaves. Does that mean that I have to keep a slave?
No, that's a different. That's very different. He's saying it's wrong. It's wrong. And he's not saying that in the ideal world and before the chet of Avot HaMarishon, and so he's not saying. We're talking about a vegetarian who says that it's ideologically it's wrong, it's immoral, it's barbaric, it's cruel, and so he's not accepting one of the principles of Torah. Yes.
I remember when Mikari had asked to eat meat.
What's that?
I remember it was one of Mikari had asked
to eat meat. Not Ikari, it doesn't have to be Kari Adas. As long as it's one mitzvah. If there's a mitzvah to eat meat under certain circumstances.
I will never ever buy a slave.
What?
It says I'll never buy a slave.
Yeah, there's no mitzvah to buy a slave.
So you can, right,
there's no mitzvah to buy a slave.
You can't accept any gear, because I don't think any gear nowadays would ever buy a slave.
No, well, there's no mitzvah to buy a slave. There's no mitzvah to buy a slave. Well, there is a mitzvah to eat meat. What do you mean? Korban Pesach is a mitzvah? When there was a Beis HaMikdash and there was Shlomim, Shalmi Simcha is a mitzvah to eat meat? Yeah. Today you don't have to eat meat. On Shabbos you don't have to eat meat. There's no chiyuv to eat meat on Shabbos. It's only Einik Shabbos. If a person doesn't enjoy meat, he doesn't have to eat meat on Shabbos. And even on Yom Tov is Man Hazeh. And Yantav is Man Azeh, we said that, so the Magen Avraham says that there's no chiyuv. Simcha today is biyayin because we don't have korbanis, but there's an inyan of simcha. It's not a chiyuv, but there's a kiyum if one eats meat on Yantav is Man Azeh. But in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, there's a chiyuv. There's a chiyuv. Now, what happens if a person will get sick if he eats meat? A mamish gets sick. So that's a general shayla. If a person will get sick from doing a certain mitzvah, a person will get sick from eating matzah. He has terrible allergic reactions to wheat, and that's the only matzah that he has, right? And he'll get sick. So that's a big shayla. Is how much, to what extent does a person have to force himself to do a mitzvah if it will cause him harm, if it will cause him a loss? In Yosef Michonesh, you don't have to do a mitzvah. Is this like Yosef Michonesh? But if he's not willing to accept it ideologically, that's for sure a problem. And I don't know. I'm not passing on this. It's a theoretical. It's an interesting theoretical question. If just the it's not because ideological, but because he just doesn't like meat, doesn't like the taste of meat. So what would happen in a case like that? Is that called chutz midaver? He says, I won't eat a korban pesach. I refuse to eat a korban pesach. I refuse to eat shalmei simcha. Right? What would happen in a case like that? Okay, an interesting question. So we'll end off with a question so that you'll be able to think about it for the rest of the year. And I just wanna give a yashir koyach to first of all to Rabbi Weil and Rabbi Belichowski for bringing out such a tremendous group. They have tremendous mazel that they always bring out a group of guys who are really real B'nai Torah, serious about learning and make me work hard. And yashir koyach to all the guys. I think we pretty much covered a lot of inyonim in Geirus. I think we covered the sugya pretty comprehensively. Of course, there's much more. Whenever you learn Torah, it's a tipa min hayam, it's the Yam HaTalmud, and whatever we learn, there's so much more that we could learn. But I think that, you know, we did cover many of the important issues in Geiris and the sugyas with the Rishonim and the Achronim and really important Shailas and Tshuvas on Geiris. I hope you guys are able to get credit for this. And if you need credit, you know, just tell the office, tell Rabbi Reis to give me a call. And I just want to wish everyone Hatzlocha. Tremendous Hatzlocha, and if you come back next year, they will learn something different.
On behalf of all of us, and actually funny, at one point someone Balabatan passed by us at some point, and they said, very funny seeing the different calls, you know, they call some of what you call, but they're like always with books and always with computers and stuff. So it happens to be that Rabbi Graydon has a MP3 player that he recorded himself on whenever he gets a shir.
Right.
And we thought that Rebbe should also have some type of a recording device to be able to record his shir. So, I mean, after call, we got Rebbe.
So, what's that? MP3?
It's an MP3 player. Also, has a. We got something to you play in the car, on your car, rides back and forth.
Oh, really? Oh, how'd you know this is what I wanted to get? Really? This is what I wanted to buy. Because you know, to be able to play in the car, it works in the car.
We got you something that you can play in the car.
Oh, that's great. Because
and also there's a warranty.
Okay, Big Yashikoyach again, and there was something very unique as we mentioned a couple Shabbosim ago, just very unique. This summer, I don't think it's ever happened in the United States, that a Lakewood Kailal and a YU Kailal are learning in the same base medrash. And it's like, it's a first. And Baruch Hashem, I think it's tremendous because, you know, one of the problems, just to talk a little openly, the problem is because there's very little exposure. And people, you know, people from the two worlds, they're two worlds. And they don't know each other. They don't know. Lakewood doesn't know how many true B'nai Torah there are in YU, and YU also doesn't. They don't know the Lakewood guys. That they, you know, that they could be that they're open. They're friendly, and they don't look down on them. And I think this was a tremendous opportunity that Rabbi Weil really created, and Mamish unique, and he has to be given tremendous credit. Everything that he's done here. So once again, Yashikoyach and Hatzlocha, and continue growing, continue shteiging, as you know, as real B'nai Torah. And okay, we'll be in touch.